Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio, and you're listening to the first broadcast of 2015 here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course live streaming audio anywhere in the world at ktym.com.
Tau pasaka sakė, į virpantį orą, vyrėjo ruduo, ant smilgo blakstienų, nutupus plaštakė, kuždėjo į ausį, brolau neišduok. Tau patalą klojo, kvepėjo jų kasos, nors imk ir bučiuok.
Well, gosh, all of a sudden it's sort of like Lithuania weather. Lows at night at 32 degrees. The Rose Bowl, the coldest in like 25 years, 32 degrees. Just freezing, just at freezing. But imagine that all day long. Anyway, we bring you again the weather from Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And tonight it's 34 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be 37 degrees. On Monday it'll drop down to 28 degrees during the day. And at night a low of 10. Tuesday down to 20 degrees, and at night a low of 14. So I guess we ought to be happy that we're just kind of hitting freezing temperatures overnight here in the Los Angeles area. So winter has really suddenly gripped Lithuania and Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Well, this is a big story. We've been talking about it for months, but now it's official. As the clock struck 12 midnight on January 1st, 2015, Lithuania officially bid farewell to the Litas, which you and I have been using for 20 years in Lithuania, and adopted the euro. After a great deal of discussion, uncertainty, and waiting, Lithuania has finally fulfilled an objective that it has been pursuing for almost a decade. The goal of introducing the single currency of the European Union was announced when Lithuania joined the EU in 2004. The country had sought to become the first Baltic state to adopt the euro in 2007. However, the country stumbled initially as it failed to meet the Maastricht criteria on inflation. That was the big problem. Its threshold in May 2006 was 2.6%, while Lithuania's inflation rate at the time was 2.7%, barely missed it. As a result, in May 2006, the European Commission gave a negative answer regarding the euro adoption. The European Central Bank, also known as the ECB, and the European Council returned the same verdicts. The introduction of the new currency was delayed due to the global economic crisis. Nonetheless, the idea was never abandoned as preparatory work continued. Consultations over Lithuania's euro membership began in Brussels in March back in 2013. The Lithuanian Parliament adopted the law on the euro adoption in April 2013, while the plan for the introduction of the new currency was approved that summer. The good news came through from Brussels and Frankfurt in June of 2014. The European Commission and the ECB analysts, the latest macroeconomic data, confirmed that Lithuania now met all the Maastricht criteria. In mid-June, Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius and the chairman of the board of the Bank of Lithuania, Vitas Vasiliauskas, gave a start to minting Lithuanian euro coins. Euro banknotes began arriving in Vilnius and Kaunas from Germany's central bank in October. Lithuania's euro area accession procedure was officially completed on the 23rd of July 2014 when the EU General Affairs Council finally decided to allow Lithuania to join the euro area on January 1st, that's yesterday, 2015, becoming the 19th member. Lithuania has been working towards this goal for almost a decade, since the very beginning of its EU membership, by reforming the economy, enhancing the financial system, creating an image of a reliable and disciplined country on the international arena, or in the international arena. We will continue to continue our responsible work after becoming members of the Eurozone. We will seek to share out our best practice and benefit from the advantages of the economic and monetary union, at the time, said the Minister of Finance, Rimantas Sadžius. Lithuanians had the opportunity to acquaint themselves with the new currency since December 1, 2014, when the Bank of Lithuania and commercial banks began selling euro coin starter sets. 900,000 starter sets were made available, and by the end of December, approximately 100,000 were still on sale. The demand for starter sets surpassed our expectations. In this case, the public was significantly more active than in Latvia, which joined the Eurozone back in January of 2014, where only about 50% of sets were sold, compared to 80 or 90% in Lithuania, said Vitas Vasiliauskas, head of the Bank of Lithuania. On January 1st, 2015, just a day or two ago, the euro replaced Lithuania's previous currency, the litas. It has been in use since 1993, when Lithuania's independence was restored. It was also the national currency between the two wars, during Lithuania's freedom period, 1922 to 1940. The modern litas banknotes and coins were designed by artists Giedrius Jonaitis, Justas Tovasis, Antanas Žukauskas, Rimvidas Bartkus, Rytis Valentinas, and Raimundas Markevičius, Petras Garsas, Arvidas Kadzis, among others. The banknotes featured the portraits of prominent and distinguished Lithuanians. Honoring the new and the old currencies, the Bank of Lithuania will give every museum in the country two banknotes and coins of the litas and the euro in every denomination. The euro will become the only legal currency in Lithuania on January 16th. Until then, it will be possible to make payments with the litas, although charges will be given in your change will be given to you in euros, including the distributed 900,000 starter sets. Currently, there are about 0.62 billion euros in circulation in Lithuania, which ensures I'm sorry, which Armour's is almost 28% of the amount in cash in circulation. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, getting away from the news report and the terrible translations that they give us, the euro and the lithos are circulating now side by side, but in a few weeks, you'll only be able to use euros. So the next time you get out of the airport in Lithuania, make sure you have euros with you, or that you're ready to make change from your dollars to euros when you land in Vilnius. Now, of course, euros all have the same value. So whether it's a Lithuanian euro or a German euro or an Austrian euro, or you know, or so on, just make sure that you have euros and are prepared to use them. Remember, the euro is worth a little bit more than a dollar, so it'll cost you. So for $1, you'll get like a 80 cents. So for $100, you'll get like 80 euros approximately, because there's about a 20% difference. So be prepared. Things are changing in Lithuania. You'll have some Lithuanian euros, and it'll be kind of fun to have the new ones. I personally think the whole thing is a bad idea, but you know, who am I? I can't change anything about it. So be prepared to use your euros and save a couple. Save a couple of the first year issue euros. Someday it might be a good investment for collector value. We'll be right back.
Tavo piktose mašinose, spūsta galviai karstuose, tuninginiuose. Dabar, jeigu girdit šią dainą, mes čia, jūsų laikas praeina.
It's been a long time since we did some straight-ahead rock and roll from probably most popular pop rock singer in Lithuania, and that's Andrius Mamontovas. And anyway, it's a protest song from a protest album that was put out about 2.5-3 years ago called Geltona Žalia Raudona. In other words, it's an anti-corruption album, and the themes are pretty heavy. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that little excerpt from Geltona Žalia and Raudona by Andrius Mamontovas. By the way, if Geltona Žalia Raudona doesn't mean anything to you, what it means is yellow, green, and red, the colors of the Lithuanian tricolor flag. Also, the song is known as Atsibusk, in other words, wake up, look around, rise up, and make this country great again. It is actually a very patriotic album. Well, back to the euro story again, you know, euro banknotes and coins. Babies, okay, newborns born on January 1st will receive for free the first Lithuanian euro coins. So says the Bank of Lithuania. The first 1,000 euro coins with the vytis, which is, you know, the Lithuanian coat of arms, an armor-clad knight on horseback featured in the country's coat of arms, were minted on the 16th of June 2014 by the Lithuanian Mint. The first coins were placed in a special box and stored at the Money Museum of the Bank of Lithuania. The Bank of Lithuania will provide as many coins as there will be babies that happen to be born on January 1st, 2015. In other words, the kids that were born on New Year's Day, or I'll be polite, the children that were born on New Year's Day. These coins were infused in organic glass with an engraved inscription, quote, "The first Lithuanian euro is for you." The souvenirs were designed in Lithuania, but minted in Germany. Parents of babies born on January 1st who agree to participate in the initiative will be presented the coins during a celebratory ceremony in the spring to mark 100 days since euro adoption. In other words, 100 days from now, or from yesterday, they will be distributed these coins if they come to the ceremony. This is a weird little story. Lithuanians legalize over 32,000 quote-unquote gas guns over 3 years. People in Lithuania have registered over 32,000 gas guns over the last 3 years. Audrius Čiupala of the police department's licensing division told Baltic News that residents of Lithuania have legalized 19,916 gas pistols and 12,236 gas revolvers, as well as 17,500 low-powered revolvers and 410 copies of antique guns. Under the law, all guns had to be registered this year. As the deadline was approaching, 4,300 people alone turned to the police to register their gas pistols and revolvers during the last week. A lot of people came on the last 3 days. There were queues, and police officers had to work additional hours. Guns had to be registered back in July, by July 1st. Those who did not want to register a gun could leave it at a police station for destroying, Čiupala told Baltic News Services. Those who failed to register their guns by July are now facing an arrest or a prison term of up to 5 years. Now, a gas gun, as they call it here, a gas gun, is really an air gun, okay? It just has different propellants. You know, some have, CO2, and some are just cocked and full of air. None of them will kill you, but I'll tell you something. If you get hit in the chest with one, it'll definitely slow you down. Why they are making Lithuanians register their gas pistols and rifles and the like, in other words, their air guns, is kind of strange news to me, but such it is in Lithuania. Well, I just can't resist a little more Andrius Mamontovas as we go on with Independent Lithuanian Radio.
Ar tu vis dar leidi kažkam instruktuoti, kaip tau gyventi, ką tau galvoti? Ar vis dar meldiesi priešais ekraną, ten kur tau kalba pagal fonogramą?
You know, by the way, dear listeners, I want to apologize with my little gruff voice. I've caught some sort of a little cold, so I have a, as they say, frog in my throat. I wonder if there's the equivalent of frog in my throat in Lithuanian, but Some of you can write me or call me and let me know if that's the truth. The Lithuanian Ministry of Defense has asked for an additional 37.7, so let's call it 38 million euros. Lithuania's Defense Minister Juozas Olekas of the Social Democratic Party confirmed on Friday that he has turned to the government with a request to earmark an additional 38 million euros for defense. However, he received a negative response from the finance ministry. "We have turned to the government with a request. We need to step up our capabilities, our capacities, and our support as the hosting country. We had provided justification for 130 million litas," Olekas had told Baltic News Services yesterday. The minister spoke the next day after his party fellow, Finance Minister Rimantas Sadžius, stated that the defense budget is sufficiently large and that raising it by more than several million litas this year would be naive, a position strongly criticized by President Dalia Grybauskaitė. Asked by news services whether the finance ministry sent a negative response, Olekas replied yesterday, "I can say it was negative from the financial ministry, although it gave a few other options." Olekas expressed certitude that the government will manage to agree on at least part of the sum asked for. Now, earlier this week, the Parliament's National Security and Defense Committee also urged the government to earmark at least 100 million litas for defense this year. However, Sadžius said that this is not possible. In his words, the privatization fund is the only possible source, and it only contains a few million litas. Of course, expecting more would be naive, as the defense funding is sufficiently big. "I agree with those who say that the defense budget needs to be effectively spent," he told journalists. Speaking in the presidential election debate back last week, Grybauskaitė stated that the defense spending should be raised this year, adding that the government's failure to take those steps would force her to initiate a budget revision. This year's defense budget totals 981 million litas. That's almost a billion litas, which makes up about 0.8% of the gross domestic product, the GDP. In terms of this indicator, Lithuania takes its penultimate place among NATO members. Allies have repeatedly urged Lithuania to ensure better defense spending. A month ago, Ukraine's neighboring Romania expanded the defense budget by an equivalent of more than 500,000 litas, and Estonia already spends 2% of its GDP on defense, while Poland is nearing that indicator. In other words, Lithuania is less than half of its GDP allocated towards defense compared to Poland and Estonia. Considering what's happening in Kaliningrad and what's happening in the Ukraine and what's happening in Russia, I think, and I think many will agree, that Lithuania really needs to increase its defense budget. You know, there's always a lot of stories about dirty politics, and frankly, I try to avoid the better half of them, and simply because people here don't understand, and they're boring, okay? They're boring stories, but I thought we'd bring this up to you. According to parliamentarian David Cameron from England, from the British Islands, standing up for democracy and the European interest, only a small minority will be following the debate about the presidency of the European Commission. But this is important because it goes to the heart of the way that the EU takes decisions and needs to respect its own rules and the appropriate relationship between the nations of Europe and EU institutions. Voters sent a clear message last month, the European elections. They are disillusioned with the way Europe is working. They are demanding changes so it focuses on what they care about, growth and jobs, and they want the EU to help them, not to tell them what to do. This was clear through the rise of anti-EU parties, the fall in turnout in the majority of countries in the elections, and the decline in support for European Parliament's largest political groups. The question now for Europe's leaders is, how do we respond to this message? The results should be a wake-up call for leaders all across Europe. The future of the European Union is at stake. It must either change or accept further decline. Britain's position is clear. They want the EU to succeed, to uphold liberty, peace, and democracy across the continent, and to spur prosperity. That is the central task of the European Union, and that requires a more open, outward-looking, flexible, and competitive EU. It also requires bold leadership, people ready to heed voters' concerns and to confront the challenges that Europe faces. The first test is the appointment of the next president of the European Commission. Under the EU treaties ratified by national parliaments, it is for EU heads of government to propose the candidate to head the European Commission, albeit leaders should take account of the European elections. Then the MEPs vote on that candidate in a secret ballot. That is the clear process enshrined in the Lisbon Treaty. After a torturous negotiation about the balance between nation states and the European Parliament, but certain MEPs have invented a new process whereby they are trying to both choose and elect the candidate. Each of the main political groups ran, quote, lead candidates during the elections and did a backroom deal to join forces after the elections in support of the lead candidate of the party that won the most seats. This concept was never agreed to by the European Council. It was not negotiated between the European institution, and it was never ratified by national parliaments. It shows again the corruption behind the scenes in the European Union. Well, we're going into the last few seconds of our show. Our first donation for this year has come in from John and Agatha Dancy. John and Agatha have supported us for, 20 years, and they wrote a very generous check. And again, it'll be our first deposit and our first donation for 2015. Thank you, John and Agatha Dancy. This is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. I know many of you have been partying and having a great time, but don't forget Eurodelimart Lituanica, 28 blocks from the beach. Eurodelimart Lituanica, 28 blocks from the beach, open 7 days a week for you. At the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale. Once again, Kęstutis Deividas, KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Keep listening. We have no idea. The show may end at any time, any week. We'll try to let you know at least a week in advance. Bye-bye.
Puslapis pirmas, vitrinos lange, kalbančios galvos, žydrame krane, kasdien pasižiūri ir vėl pamastai, tos pačios naujienos tik keičia svardai. Pabaiga, diskusijų klubas, ką tu manai, tos pačios naujienos, tik keičia svardai. Tos pačios naujienos.